Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Obviously, the Ravens are a bigger, more physical, better defense against the run. The Bills, their linebackers are a bit undersized. All their linebackers that they use are 20 pounds lighter than Derrick Henry.
Right.
And Derrick Henry's a particularly big guy, but that's how the Ravens want to play. And when they do this option game, you either have to have one guy in space with Lamar, which is trouble,
yep.
Or you send two guys out there, and then you got one guy in the hole against Derrick Henry.
That's right.
And your biggest guys are 20 pounds lighter than him. So worst case scenario, unless your D-line breaks through, he's falling forward for 4 or 5 yards. That's a tough situation to be in because you don't have anybody that perfectly matches up.
Dominic Foxworth on Bills Ravens. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase here. Happy Wednesday. Chilly. It's cold out. It's going to get colder next week. It'll be cold for the Ravens game on Sunday at 6:30. And starting to heat up on anticipation.
At least the sun's out, though.
Yeah, sun's out. Nice day. Joining us on the Wester Hotline to chat about Bills Ravens is Luke Jones. As we talked a few weeks back, months back, I should say, actually, on the Week 4 matchup, when the Ravens season was, 1-2, in danger of going the wrong way. Maybe. They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Raiders along the way. Luke, good morning. Quite a long way from that September 29th matchup.
Yeah, it feels like a really long time ago. I mean, I even asked John Harbaugh, how much stock do you put into that, watching that film, watching that game compared to what Buffalo's done, say, the last 6 weeks? And he said, of course, it's a combination of both. But I'm certainly expecting a much closer game because I have a lot of respect for the Bills, and I think the Bills have a lot of respect for the Ravens.
Yeah. The Bills, I mean, one of the big stories around here is the Bills are getting a lot of their defensive players they didn't have in that game back. But Baltimore has also gone through a bit of a change defensively. The Bills had a very bad day in Baltimore in that 35-10 defeat. What has happened to the Ravens' offense from the first half of the season to the second half of the season? Because I've seen quite a bit of writing that things have changed very much for their defensive success.
Yeah, and what's interesting, I actually had a chance to go back and watch that game a little bit earlier this week, just kind of, jogging my memory. I was also covering the Orioles, getting ready to start a very brief playoff run right at that time as well. But I think there were some elements of what the Ravens did defensively that game that translated later in the season when they made some more profound changes. If you looked at that game, Kyle Hamilton, who early in the year was playing all kinds of nickel for the Ravens, he didn't play quite as much nickel in that game. He was playing a little more deep safety, a lot more dime, and the Ravens kind of just went with Marlon Humphrey as their nickel. The big issue that obviously didn't show up in that Week 4 game against Buffalo that the Ravens had the first half of the season was they were just getting crushed with their safety play. Too many big plays. Marcus Williams, who was one of the highest paid players on this roster, just was completely lost for whatever reason. It's still a big mystery. I mean, he's a healthy scratch at this point. You won't see him on Sunday barring something weird. But they benched him halfway through the season. They moved Hamilton to more of a conventional deep safety role. They put Ardarius Washington, who's 5'8", 180 pounds, but has played his butt off, as the other deep safety. And the big plays were eliminated at that point in time. So, you know, they kind of used Hamilton a little bit differently in that week four game. And I think that's something that maybe was some foreshadowing for what they did eventually halfway through the season. But their safety play has been so much better. They made an adjustment at the weak side inside linebacker spot next to Roquan Smith. Early in the year, they had Trenton Simpson, our second year linebacker there, struggled, wasn't really ready for a full-time role, and the Ravens have since pivoted to kind of a timeshare between two veteran players, Malik Harrison and Chris Board at linebacker. So those changes have really shored up the middle of the field and those over routes that were just killing them earlier in the season. So, you know, those are the most dynamic changes that they made right around week 11, and it's made, I mean, huge dividends for them. Like you said, I mean, the Ravens playing well in week four against the Bills defensively, that was the aberration in the first half of the season. But the last six, 7 weeks or so, they've played like one of the very best defenses in the league because of those changes I just laid out.
Yeah, a lot's been made of that Kyle Hamilton change in particular on defense. What was he doing before? Was he being like, he has to be like a big nickel almost at the beginning?
Yeah, they were using him. It was almost like this hybrid spot where they would just move him around all the time. I mean, it was primarily playing a lot of nickel. You know, he plays some dime. I mean, they'd line this, you know, they lined him up as an edge rusher sometimes, too. And they still do those things. But because they were giving up so many big plays, they're having miscommunications on the back end of the defense. Their safeties, you know, like I said, Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson, who they've since waived, were just giving up big plays. They kind of got to the point where they said, look, we love moving Kyle around, and we love having him in this hybrid role, and that's, I still think that'll be more of his role long-term for them. But where they stand right now, they had a very clear need, and he just settled things down for them. And even some of the other veteran players on the defense have talked about his cerebral element, you know, his football IQ, that he's really played a bigger part in getting guys lined up properly as well. So, you know, it was very much him playing closer to the line of scrimmage, playing in the box, playing a lot of big nickel, which he's great at those things. And again, you'll still see some of those things. You just don't see it quite as much because they've really made it a point of emphasis to play him off the line of scrimmage more frequently to take away those big plays that up until the third quarter of the Pittsburgh game last Saturday, there really hadn't been any of that over the last 6-7 weeks.
Speaking with Luke Jones, Ravens reporter for WNST and BaltimorePositive.com. Luke, when it comes to the Ravens' ceiling, to me, a lot of the conversation about the Ravens, I mean, they're the 3 seed. They did finish behind the Bills, of course, in the AFC standings. But there seems to be a lot of belief that when they are at their best, almost no one else gets to that level. Would you agree with that? When they are humming, they look unbeatable?
I mean, I've watched them all year, and I think what's been frustrating is there have been times where they haven't been at their best, and they do the things like committing penalties, and, you know, they had the issues with Justin Tucker earlier in the year, missing field goals and things like that. But, yeah, when they're playing at their best, when you look at just the Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson element alone on offense, but then you throw in some very capable pass-catching targets that they have, and, you know, we'll see about Zay Flowers, but when they're at their best, boy, unless your offense is just playing at the absolute highest level, and Josh Allen and the Bills are capable of doing that, certainly. But unless you're getting that on the other side, it is so difficult to beat this team. I mean, their ceiling, I don't want to say it's the highest in the NFL necessarily, but there's no one with a higher ceiling in the NFL than the Ravens when they're playing at their absolute best.
Is there a common thread to their losses? I mean, there have been a couple, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
The Raider game.
The Raiders is early in the season. Is there any common thread?
I think beyond what I mentioned, penalties. I mean, obviously Justin Tucker had issues. I mean, he missed, three kicks in that their last loss to Philadelphia back in, what was it, week 13, I think it was, off the top of my head. But beyond those things, I think the element that has given them problems, it's been teams that have a bigger defensive line, and I know that doesn't really apply to Buffalo. That's not
we all made the same
face. We all just grimaced like, okay, that's not it.
And let me be clear. I mean, I think the Bills have a good defense when everyone's and as you pointed out, I rewatched that week four game. I mean, the backup linebackers for Buffalo, they were in a blender all night. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't stop Derrick Henry. Justice Hill had a bunch of catches out of the backfield, but generally, when the Ravens have had more difficulty, when their offensive line has had more difficulty, it's been against bigger defensive fronts. Kansas City, Pittsburgh in the first meeting. I don't know what happened the last two, and I think a lot of that says about where the Steelers are as a franchise right now. And Philadelphia, obviously, with the horses they have with their interior defensive line. Those are the teams that have given the Ravens the most problems with their offense, not being able to lean into Derrick Henry in the running game quite as much, pressuring Lamar Jackson. So, I think for Buffalo, obviously, it's a good defensive line, but it's not a big defensive line. That's where I think it's just going to be so critical for Milano and Bernard and Teron Johnson. That second level of the defense is going to be absolutely huge. And obviously, as you pointed out, that was what was missing big time in that Week 4 game.
Yeah, the Bills, the defensive line's almost backwards, where like the interior is small, but when it's Rousseau and Epinesa out there, it's 6'7 and 6'6. That's where they have the size. But right, interior, it's not. What about Zay Flowers for this week? One, like it's before practice Wednesday, so it's going to be hard to guess, but would you have a guess right now on whether he plays? And also, how important that would be? Because it might be easy to fall into a trap, I think, of, well, he only had one catch against the Bills in Week 4, and then they looked completely fine without him last week against Pittsburgh. But, I don't know, it's hard for me to believe they're not missing something if he's not out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a heck of a player. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl wide receiver. I think, and this is where, you look at the, and I even saw your poll question you put on social media, which I think is a great question, that the Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry thing. But Derrick, you've got to be able to contain Derrick Henry as the prerequisite, right? If you just let him run for 100 yards in the first half, the way that Pittsburgh did, the way that Buffalo did back in Week 4, then the Ravens don't need to get to as much as their offense, including Zay Flowers. So, to answer your question, I'm skeptical about his status this week. I think it's going to be very apparent because, this isn't something that occurred this past weekend, and then it's like, okay, well, maybe he doesn't need to practice and he can go out there and play. With him having not played now, in the wild card round, hasn't practiced, John Harbaugh made a comment saying, well, he doesn't necessarily need to practice to be able to play. I almost took that as a tell of trying to, a little bit of gamesmanship there to try to say, well, we don't want to rule him out, but if he's not practicing this week, that doesn't mean he's not going to play. Whereas I think the reality is he has to get out there, but he's certainly important. And I think for a player like him, it's one thing to talk about a D lineman or an O lineman, where you put a brace on a knee issue and you can kind of play through it. His lateral, his shiftiness, his lateral quickness, his speed, all those things. I mean, it's, if he does play, I am skeptical as far as how effective he's going to be. But to your point, we still have 3 days of practice here. We're going to see how it plays out, but he's important. But like I said, and let me be clear, to go back to your question, that you posed on social media, Lamar Jackson's he's the Ravens MVP. We'll see if he's the league MVP. I don't want to open that can of worms on Buffalo radio right now. But again, everything plays off, they play off each other. And, like Buffalo, give up an 87-yard touchdown to Derrick Henry on the first play of the game. I mean, you've spotted the Ravens 7 points right off the bat. I mean, that's what can't happen. If Derrick Henry runs for 115 yards over the course of 60 minutes, but you've mostly bottled him up and he doesn't have a run longer than, say, 12 yards, something like that, then that's where, you've got a better chance to try to keep the Ravens under 30 points, let's say. You're not stopping the Ravens, but to contain them a little more. But if you just let them run wild, I mean, there have been games this year where Lamar Jackson throws it 15 times because the Ravens were up by 3 touchdowns by halftime. So I just think, that's the first key. But, if you can contain and not let Derrick Henry go nuts right off the bat in the first and second quarter, then, the potential absence of Zay Flowers looms very large then, because, I like Rashad Bateman as their number 2 wide receiver. The Ravens have 2 really good tight ends, as you know, and Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. But you look at the rest of those wide receivers, they aren't exactly a group that are known for separation and making a bunch of big plays. And as you saw against Pittsburgh, I mean, their wide receivers didn't really have to do a whole lot because it was all Derrick Henry and Lamar with his legs.
Ravens reporter Luke Jones, you said you didn't want to open up the can of worms on MVP. I'll open it because it's definitely a big storyline. I mean, around here, Bills fans felt Josh Allen should have won the MVP last year. Lamar did. Yeah. Now, this year, we've been tracking it week to week like a horse race. And I guess my question for you, Luke, is about Lamar's legacy there in Baltimore. You've seen him in an AFC championship game. He does have a reputation he's in the process of killing off, the idea that he's not that good in the playoffs, and performances would help that. What is his current whatever, legacy, approval rating in Baltimore among Ravens fans. And the reason I ask that is because I think Bills fans believe the Bills kind of owe Josh Allen a Super Bowl. They have no doubt in him. How about Ravens fans and Lamar for this in this spot? Is there doubt about his playoff ability?
I mean, I don't know if there's doubt as much as just like, hey, it's time to break through. I think the big level of frustration with the Ravens collectively in the Lamar era, as far as them losing these games, it's that they've looked so out of character in doing it. You know, I mean, when Josh Allen has gone up against Patrick Mahomes a couple times, you know, some of these games, the Bills and Allen played great. It's just the Chiefs made one more play, right? Or, you know, outscored them by just a little bit. Whereas some of these games that the Ravens have lost in January have been games, you know, they're held to 3 points. You know, they're held to 10 points against Kansas City last year, where Lamar and the team collectively just look so out of character. So I think there's a sense of, all right, it's time to put this all together. You look like the best quarterback in the world or in the regular season. Want to see it translate in January. And look, if it's a back-and-forth game and the Bills edge the Ravens 31-30, but Lamar plays great, I think there's a colossal disappointment, but I don't think it's like, hey, you choked or anything like that. Yeah. I think there's very much just a sense of you just want to see that same player who's phenomenal and already on his way to the Hall of Fame at age 28. You want to see that same player in the regular season that shows up in January. And I think that's where it is. I mean, Lamar is king in this town right now. I mean, there's no question about that. But there is very much a sense of, hey, like, it's time to do this, you know? I mean, you're too great in the regular season. You've been so amazing in the regular season to not look anywhere close to that in some of these. And again, most of the games we're talking about earlier in his career, you know, but even against Kansas City last year in the title game in Baltimore, you know, just it didn't look like Lamar, you know. So I think that's where the frustration is. But I think the confidence level and just the adoration that this city has for Lamar Jackson speaks for itself.
Is a lot of Bills fans might even forget that this guy's on the team, but is Tre'Davious White have any sort of role on the Ravens?
You know, he's played a little bit. Earlier in the year when I mentioned all the issues they had with the safety position, you know, they were very much a three safety kind of dime and sometimes three safety nickel team. You know, as I mentioned with Hamilton, you know, they went away from that. So as they've gotten later into the year, Tre'Davious White's played a little bit here and there. Sometimes he'll spell one of their other corners. I mean, the Ravens, they don't treat them like edge rushers, but they do try to spell their defensive backs here and there for a series if they can, especially if someone's banged up. But where he's played the most has been when they've gone to a dime with four corners, and he's played on the outside. He's had his moments, but he's also had some times where he's gotten beat. So, you know, I don't think he's going to play a ton of football on Sunday, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the one thing, you know, if there's a weakness on that Ravens defense, it's Brandon Stevens on the outside. You know, their corner opposite of the rookie Nate Wiggins, and Marlon Humphrey primarily plays the nickel. So Brandon Stevens has had his issues that, you know, if he struggles, you could see Tre'Davious White there. So he's had his moments, but certainly not the player he was in Buffalo before all the injuries started to mount for him.
Luke Jones on the Ravens. Luke, thanks so much for the time. Always a pleasure, and enjoy the game Sunday.
Absolutely. Have a blast, guys. I mean, these are the games we talk about year-round, these matchups, so yep. I'm looking forward to it Sunday night.
Absolutely. Thanks, Luke. So, Bills-Ravens. I have mentioned this to you before and said it before in the year. Like, this is I know that the dream is to win a Super Bowl, and we want the Bills to win a Super Bowl, but having these games, to me, is, on some level, the dream come true. What I wanted when the Bills started to become, whatever, when we're thinking about drafting Josh Allen or what the need, the desire to find a franchise quarterback through the drought, I wanted to be the Steelers, which is you play in games that matter and everybody has an opinion on you and you have rivalries and you're awesome. Like the Big Ben Steelers, they didn't win all the Super Bowls. They didn't go to all the Super Bowls, but they lived the life, you know? And that was my dream, was to, for my team. Sure, you'd love to win them all or win a million Super Bowls, but I just want to be game of the week, game of the year, Sunday 6:30 divisional round. That to me is living. And from here, it's not to say it's all gravy and it doesn't matter if they win or lose, but I had that feeling going back to the Houston playoff game. Like they're in it. This is what it's like to be alive. And man, Sunday is going to be peak living.
Hopefully they win.
Right. And in an NFL, a given NFL season, there's like almost 300 games in a year. And the game of the year, number one, is in Orchard Park.
Yeah, probably.
At least at this point.
To this point.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Baltimore, Kansas City, or Buffalo, Kansas City probably tops it for the AFC Championship game. And then the Super Bowl. But, you know, past that, I mean, it's just...
it's as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets, yeah. Yep. 803-0550 if you'd like to join us.
Speaking of the Steelers, they're talking about Tomlin again. Let me ask you this. How does it end? It will someday end.
Does he step away or do they...
does he step away? Does he get traded? Does he get fired? They have not fired a head coach since 1968. Or do they resurge and he is their coach for another 20 years and he retires like as a 67-year-old man? How does it end? What's the most likely outcome for Tomlin?
I did see a small defense of Tomlin that I think you and I would both respect to a point. And that is that he's got 6 playoff losses in a row. They get blown out in those games.
That doesn't
excuse his defense. But his QBR, the quarterbacks that he's had, he's never had a good quarterback. And that includes Russell Wilson. Like, they get to the playoffs.
Well, like, in the 6-game stretch, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That they've yet to have a quarterback play well, really, at all. And, like, would Mike Tomlin have a 6-game losing streak if he had Josh Allen? Probably not.
No.
So there's a small defense there. That doesn't excuse getting outscored 73-0 in the first quarter of those games. Like, the 73 matter quite a bit.
Right. And those were, like, Baker Mayfield lit him up in the first quarter of a playoff game and, like, ran away with it early. I'm just very curious what... Bortles scored 45 on him. And that was a game where they kept up, right? It was 45-42.
I feel like there were some pick sixes in that game, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay, maybe. It's just they are not... I don't want to quite say they're not a real team because they have won championships. They make the playoffs every year.
But they're in a purgatory.
But they... it's crazy to me that the current owner and also his father, who was the owner for multiple decades, neither of which ever fired a coach. So, like, is there this pride with that? Like, that's what I wonder. Like, how many other teams would fire Tomlin? He has a Super Bowl, but it was a long time ago, and they do make the playoffs, but they get smoked. How much of the Steelers not firing Tomlin is just, we're the Steelers, we don't fire coaches? We haven't fired one in 50 years. Like, that's where I wonder, like, would they just never do it? Would they just, it doesn't matter. They would never fire him. Because then it comes down to, well, he's either walking away or you're good with this life. You're good with making the playoffs 9-10 wins every year and getting smoked in round one. Because of that formula, like, you eventually maybe you do luck into a quarterback, but you're not giving yourself the best chance to get one by any means. Like, next year, they're going to walk it back with Wilson, or maybe they'll do Fields, or there's been Aaron Rodgers chatter. Him and Tomlin, I guess, had like a wink-wink thing like during the season. But
have
like,
a good time.
Right, like, congrats. You're going to have 1 year of him. That's going to go great, I'm sure.
It'll go better than Russell Wilson, because Rodgers doesn't take a million sacks. That's the problem. Sacks are the new interceptions. You heard it here first.
Sacks are the new interceptions.
Yeah, nobody throws picks anymore. Fewest interceptions in a season since 1982. What can you still do? You can get the quarterback on the ground. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a mobile guy like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels. Look around. Look who's still alive. It's the quarterbacks that can extend plays. And Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I mean, those are two of the worst at taking sacks and have been in the last 10 years. And it's like picking two quarterbacks that will hurt you the most. But they won't throw interceptions. No, they'll take sacks and they'll kill your offense. All right, 803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe, Luke, stick with us. We'll get a call in on the other side as we keep walking towards Bills, Ravens. It's Bulletin Board Wednesday, some media from both teams. Will someone step in it and say the wrong thing? Probably not. But we can spin it into something. We can try. We'll see what we can do this week. 803-0550 on WGR.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have been invited to be the legend of the game. Been invited to come out. You saw Kyle Williams do it last week.
The magic is coming back to Buffalo,
and
baby.
It was so amazing.
Any pregame speeches like Kyle Williams' video? I saw the Kyle Williams video.
Kyle gave a little pregame speech.
He did.
You know what I think? I think with me more than words, the fans are expecting some skin, you know.
Yes,
they're expecting some chest hair. They're expecting some back hair. I got to give the people what they want. What do I have to lay off to look skinnier? Carbs? Should I get a spray tan?
I mean, a tan helps, right?
I would say so.
Fitz, legend of the game, Sunday. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We have some open phone lines. We'll talk about this game if you want. Why not?
Do you want to take a minute to guess the dog of the day tonight?
Oh, Sabres and Hurricanes.
Sabres and Hurricanes, dog of the day. The name and the ingredients.
The name is going to be the Breezy.
No. Oh, what's that in reference to?
Hurricanes, winds. I don't
know. Oh, I see. Okay, that makes sense.
The famous character, the Krzyzewski.
The Krzyzewski. Not bad. Not a bad guess. It is a...
The Roy Williams.
You're on the right track.
The...
You're in the right sport. I'll say that. You're in the right sport.
The Jordan.
The MJ.
The MJ.
What's on the MJ?
All right. The MJ has... I want to... Like, Carolina barbecue is vinegar-based. Maybe there's a fancy mustard-based vinegar-ish.
Not far off.
Okay. I had the old South Towns barbecue at Sabres game, and there was some barbecue mustard style stuff. Great.
Ooh, okay. You're on the right track with the vinegar-based.
Okay. Yeah, Carolina is vinegar-based.
Okay. Foot-long hot dog topped with chili.
I like it.
Mustard.
Into it.
Onions.
Mm-hmm.
And creamy Carolina slaw.
I would go to this game for this dog. I want to go.
I said that. Like, I want to go to this game just to try the hot dog.
Can I DoorDash a dog from the Sabres game?
Wow.
Go in, grab my dog, and bring it. Got to go to the game for this dog?
Could you imagine the driver shows up at the arena, he walks up the escalator, he gets the dog, and he just leaves?
Yeah. Here.
I mean, you could just do that, too. Just show up at the arena, get in, go up the escalator, grab the dog.
I mean, I can do
get
that
out
at the movie theater for popcorn. Why can't I do that for a dog?
You can do what? You can go into the theater and just... Yeah, but has anyone in the right mind ever done that?
Multiple times.
What? You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout?
To get popcorn, yes. This is another thing that people
Hold
do.
On.
People do this.
What? Yes. Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you could get movie theater popcorn in the grocery store.
That's grocery store popcorn.
Oh, come on. Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going and getting movie theater popcorn.
It certainly is.
And spending $50 on a bucket.
Where do you get a bucket that big? only at movie theaters.
Where you pop two bags.
Pop two bags. First off, we don't have a microwave. How about that for you?
Oh.
I'm going to really bend your mind. Yeah, we don't have a microwave.
So what do you do?
The things that people did before microwaves. You can
cook on the fire?
Popcorn? We have a little popcorn pan. Yeah, stovetop.
Like Jiffy Pop.
Well, no, over the stovetop. There's a pan you can spin it so the kernels are always spinning when they pop up.
Okay. What do you do to heat up leftovers then?
Pots, pans. You know, ovens, toaster ovens.
We will actually, you know, as I say that, I'm now using the air fryer to reheat things more often. Like just 3 minutes in the air fryer, it's all it needs.
Return on investment in my mind for a microwave. You get a lot of quick heat ups, of course, but the amount of space you give away on your counter is massive. Microwaves are huge.
Ours hangs in like the cabinet.
Yeah,
area,
so well, I used to have
that
one of those.
That makes it a little better.
They take up tons of space.
Yeah.
Don't need one.
You're missing out on popcorn, then.
Haven't had a microwave in a decade. We make popcorn all the time on the stovetop.
It's not more annoying, though? It's not?
No.
Yeah.
I said a buddy texted me, you can have my tickets if you bring me back a dog. Can I get a box for this? Wrap it in foil. Yeah. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home. We do it all.
We
do it all the time. You're gonna have a movie night at home. Get popcorn on the road and bring it home.
How hard is it to keep the popcorn from spilling over on the drive home? Because they usually. Do you ask them not to overfill it?
No, fill that baby. You're gonna eat it right out. You're gonna put it.
So you're gonna have to do a balancing act, though. So you're gonna put the popcorn in the driver's seat. Passenger seat.
And you're gonna buckle it in, and you're gonna go over. And You're gonna eat that top.
You gotta be not dry. You gotta be careful around turns, then I think too, because I mean the last thing you want is that spilling over and it just goes everywhere.
You're gonna get some greasy seats halfway. Put the butter in, and then fill it up the rest of the way. Then put more butter on it.
Perfect. Do you do the thing when you're holding popcorn where you just stick your tongue onto the kernels and let the kernels stick to your tongue?
I've not done that. When you said the kernels, I thought you meant like the kernels the actual popcorn?
The
popped
ones, yeah.
No, yeah, I've done that.
You don't really need your hands.
No, I don't know that I've ever done that in public, though. Although it is dark in the movie theater, so who's going to see it?
Only in the private of your own home?
Yeah. I used to. You have no idea the amount of popcorn I used to eat as a kid. Like one, like not like every night, but like I would eat a whole bag myself. If any of my brothers came near it, like I was swinging.
Wow, you love popcorn that much?
I loved popcorn that much. You've never gone
to the theater and gotten it to go.
Because I just I like it. Right. I like it at home.
I'm gonna blow your mind.
I'm good with the popped bag in the microwave.
Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats, buy candy? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. They didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game?
After the
ticketed portion.
Where
do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
Uh-huh.
Popcorn is available before you show your ticket.
Could I DoorDash popcorn from the theater?
That's a maybe.
You might be able to.
That one I don't know. All right. Luke in Silver Creek wants to talk about the Bills and the Ravens. Hey, Luke.
Seems appropriate.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good, Luke. How are you?
First off, I do agree that popcorn is an elite snack. I've recently tried cayenne pepper on my popcorn.
Okay.
And that's been spicing up for sure. So a couple things here. Jeremy, I loved what you were saying about how this is the time and just the drama of the Bills now. The games actually matter. It's incredible. We're all going Sunday, and I'm giving up dry January for the Bills, setting the ego aside and getting a little bad in me. But I wanted to ask you guys pretty much here about if the Bills are or feel underrated in this game. It just feels like the whole narrative is about how possibly the Bills can stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. But, like, the Bills themselves are blowing everyone out at home, put up over 28 points a game. Like, it just feels like so much of the conversation is around how the Bills are going to possibly stop the Ravens versus how the Ravens can stop the Bills, which obviously a lot of that has to do with the game that's already been played, but two different teams since then. So,
yeah, you know what, Luke? I often don't want to buy into that, but this time it's probably true. I mean, they are home underdogs, right? They are underdogs to the Ravens because Baltimore has two avenues. Two MVP caliber players, two Hall of Fame caliber players, and the Bills are more of the sum of its parts. And I'll admit, if there's one thing that worries me about this game for the Bills offense, it is that they don't have that other thing. We've watched Everybody Eats work again and again and again and a million times, and we will be getting ready for the Super Bowl, and I'll be sitting here saying, like, boy, I hope it works again. I hope it works one more time. I hope Joe Brady has the secret sauce again. He's had it a million times, so I should probably feel like they're going to have it again. But Baltimore having Henry and Jackson is two very distinct challenges. And James Cook is really good. He's not quite Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
The Bills' offensive line might be better, and the Bills' line is amazing. It's been great this year. And we're going to see six offensive linemen on one side and a fullback on the other, and it almost feels like the Bills, they didn't see the future, but their new build is for this, is it not? Oh, 8 degrees?
Yep.
January? Let's get nasty. The Bills are more, at least on the offensive side of the ball, in the trenches, more prepared for this than they have been in years past, one would think.
I mean, their offensive line, the Broncos' defensive line is good. Like, they have great talent. And the Bills bullied them last year, like, to me, or last week. Like, to me, the line is a big part of that. Like, how they've built it, and for a game like this that might be more physical, like, that matchup excites me. I also do want to respect, the game being here.
Yep.
And that this would be, like, you hear this in college football a lot. It doesn't come up in the NFL as often, but some. That, like, this should be the toughest, or at least one of the toughest places to play in the league. And that's the other thing that was different about Week 4. Week 4 is in Baltimore. So it's at your building, you know, the weather being what it is, whatever. Like, they've not lost a home game this year. They lost to Kansas City in the playoffs last year with half a defense. And before that, you got to go back to the Denver Monday night game. The last time they lost at home, like, they win at home. And I want to respect that being a significant advantage for them.
Yeah.
That being said, it's only respected now as, like, a point and a half difference in the spread.
Thanks, so, Luke. WGR 550 just put up a Twitter poll. We got to change it. I don't think I've ever driven to the movie theater to get popcorn, but I've walked. And the poll is loaded.
Hold on. You want to go gone to the movie theater?
Have you ever taken movie theater popcorn home without seeing a movie?
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken movie theater popcorn home without ever seeing the movie?
I want yes, no, and the third option I want is, oh my God, what a great idea. Some people don't even think about it. I didn't think about it until we started doing it. Here's one. I've gone to Schmarget just to get popcorn from the snack bar because it's better than movie theater popcorn. How about that? Does Target have a snack bar? News to me. All right, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Ravens.
What are the uniform matchups going to be like? What's the best? What are you rooting for?
Oh, I know what I was going to say. That's a good question. I'm rooting. Well, the Bills will wear their blue and white.
Blue and white.
And the Ravens will wear white and white. Right? White and black. White tops, black pants. Blue tops, white pants. That's what we'll get.
Okay.
What I was going to say is we need a name for this game. When the Bills go to Baltimore on a Sunday night and they wear all black, they call it Darkness Falls.
Right.
Clearly, the thing we're missing is we don't have a cool name for this.
Right. The ice out. They were all white.
8 degrees.
What about that as a move? All white at home.
I mean, I don't mind it.
All white. White out. Let's go.
The storm?
But then that allows the Ravens to wear their Darkness Falls.
True. We do call the Bills whites the Stormtroopers, don't we?
Yes. Yes, I believe that's right.
803-0550. You can vote in the Twitter poll. Have you ever taken movie theater popcorn home without seeing a movie? I voted, oh my God, what a great idea, even though my true answer is yes. DL writes in, I used to work at head office at a theater company. Uber Eats started being a massive part of their business during 2021, and now still I bet that they would deliver popcorn from movie theaters.
Okay.
There you go.
So the technology exists.
This whole conversation started with the idea of getting the Sabres dog of the day delivered. It does sound like a good dog.
It sounds like a great dog, yeah.
Extendo Sports coming up, and we'll pass things off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show after that.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay. Bills and Ravens, Sunday. What do we do until then? Sabres-Canes tonight?
Sabres-Canes tonight. And then there's another game on after that in the NHL.
Only two games?
Yeah, because everybody else played last night.
Ah, that's right.
They cleared the decks so that they could have their two standalone games tonight. How about that?
TNT tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sabres-Canes and Oilers-Wild. It is.
Oilers Wild. See, Jeff Skinner's been a healthy scratch the last couple of games, yeah. So.
It is stunning. And I mean, it shouldn't be stunning, but it is ultimately stunning. Not in any sort of ranty way that the Sabres are 11 points out of the playoffs today. And in last in the East, it is by 4 points.
All right.
It's stunning. And it. Maybe shouldn't be, but I mean, it's.
I don't know how stunning it really should be. Like,
I don't know. Like, we felt like last year was an underachievement, and 2 years ago they appeared to be on the right track, and here they are. They're just in last in the East, and it's just. I don't know. Anyway, what else? No Thursday football, which is a bummer.
No. I this morning locked in on my first fantasy draft plans of the season.
Congratulations.
The February Fix League. February 15th. Let's go.
That'll be a you guys draft rookies that have not yet been drafted, right?
Correct.
It'll be maybe the toughest year ever to do that.
Yeah, because of last year was easier because you just knew there were like 10 receivers where
tons
you,
of receivers
you were having a chance.
And
no running backs, but
no, tons of receivers and tons of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and then this year
and Brock Bowers last year went high.
Yep, and not thought to be a great quarterback class this year. The receiver class I've seen it's okay. It's not close to last year.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the running backs yet.
There's some good running backs.
There are. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Trevion Henderson, go ahead and take him.
Oh, Ohio State. Yeah,
and the Boise State Ashton G&T take him.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And who else? I just saw somebody declare. Oh, Kyle McCord, first pick. There you go, Joe.
Who should the first overall pick be? For next year's fantasy, who should go first? I have the number. If I had the number one pick, who should I take?
Boise State running back.
Over everybody in the league, too? This is the whole league.
Oh, sorry.
Whole league. Right. This is a redraft.
It's not a rookie draft.
Yeah,
right.
No.
It's a full draft.
The whole league's available. Who should I pick first?
Derrick Henry.
Thought about Neighbors.
Saquon. Did they go for the record this time with him?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it'll be fun.
McCaffrey. Just do it. I'm kidding, of course. You have to be nuts.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
All right, that's it for us. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way. We'll still check in with Joe Marino this week. We had to move him off today, so we'll check in with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, tomorrow or Friday as we keep rolling. It is media day down at One Bills Drive, so we'll hear from the team ahead of the massive game with Baltimore. So stay tuned for complete coverage here on WGR.